There's a handful of things in life that I know that I'm good at. Running a successful podcast, for one, a website, photography, menu consulting, etc. But one of the things where I need help is my gardening, specifically culinary gardening. It's one thing to have a nice succulent or a pretty plant to look at, but there's nothing like growing your own food, herbs, and more. That's why I turned to my friend and friend of the Best Seeds podcast, Ashley Irene of Heirloom Potager, for all things culinary gardening. She's an expert through and through who's worked with some of the best chefs and restaurants here in Orange County. Whether you're running a restaurant program, a craft cocktail program, or you just want to start growing some great food at home, she has everything you need and more. To get more information, set up a consultation, or just to see some of the things that she's done in the past, check out heirloompotager.com for more information. I still use her services, even outside of the Best Seats. I cannot recommend Heirloom Potager enough for all things culinary gardening. Once again, that's heirloompotager.com. This episode of the Best Seats podcast is brought to you by, well, you. To learn how you can support the show, go to thebestseats.com/Patreon. Once there, you'll learn how you can get early access to shows, ad-free listening, the ability to submit questions, comments, concerns, and more. Once again, that's thebestseats.com/Patreon. But enough of that. On to the show. What's up, everybody? Hello, and welcome to the first ever episode 137 of the Best Seats podcast. Ooh, we are getting up there. The only podcast giving you interviews with some of the most talented people in and around the hospitality community from right here in Orange County to the rest of Southern California and beyond, each and every episode. As always, I'm your host, Crawford McCarthy, founder and principal of The Best Seats. Thank you to my friend, Allie Coyle. She provides music for the show. You can find more of her work at alliecoylemusic.com. If you're listening to the show on free feeds, whether that's Spotify or wherever else, please consider leaving a rating and or a review, sharing it with your friends. It helps new audiences discover the show. You can go to thebestseats.com for more content just like this. Check out merchandise, the blog, etc. Don't forget, though, the very best experience is only found on patreon.com/thebestseats, where you can get early ad-free listening to each and every episode, exclusive access to the bonus episodes, and more content just like this. Very excited about episode 137. When I first started the Best Seats podcast, it was a tumultuous time for anybody who's a new listener or relatively new. It was launched right after the pandemic shut everything down in 2020. It was equal parts a way for people to share their story about what they were doing to stay alive, but also it evolved, and very quickly it evolved, and it more so became not so much about what are you doing, but how are you doing? And it was also originally basically kind of the inception of it was I wanted to highlight people in the industry that I think deserved it and may not always get that traditional limelight. Having done freelance writing for a lot of publications and kind of seen the way that media works, it's generally kind of a lot of the same people that get shout outs, and rightfully so. They're incredibly talented. Many of them have been on this show. But I also want to give shout outs to so many other people that work in the industry and make it what it is and work very, very hard at it. Probably like you, if you're listening to the show, a lot of my friends are industry. I would say probably most of them at this point work in hospitality in some way or another. And this is a very dear friend of mine. My guest for this episode, Brandon Howard, who is a bartender down at Stillwater Spirits and Sounds in Dana Point. I've known Brandon for many years now. He's a buddy. We always watch football together. He's a Cowboys fan, so go ahead and talk trash on that if that's your thing. But him and his wife are very close to mine. Like, they're just very good people through and through. Brandon's been in this industry a long time. He's a veteran of it. He knows his way around. He's worked at a lot of different spots here in Orange County, throughout Orange County, and just exactly the type of person that when you pull up to a bar, you know that you're going to have a good time with. You're going to grab a drink, have good stories, just laugh and have a good time. Stillwater is very much part of his personality. It is a place where you go and you have a good time. Live music venue through and through. It's big, it's raucous, but it's also relaxed and it does have enough upscale where you're not kind of worried about anything happening right in the heart of Dana Point. It's really gorgeous, huge outdoor patio and bar, just a kind of perfect Southern Orange County, great spot to hang out. It's a place that I'm a big fan of. Whenever I'm down in Dana, I swing by, not just because he's there, but I'd been going there for a while, even before I met him, for different reasons. So it's a fun one. We sit down this episode to talk about his history, to talk about our friendship, to talk about what it means to kind of be in this industry, dating within this industry, outside of this industry, his whole history, and a whole lot more. It's a perfect encapsulation of what I originally set out to do with this podcast, what I still try to do each and every episode, which is tell you stories from the people within the hospitality industry, whatever aspect of it they work in. And this is a great one. So without further ado, let's jump right into episode 137 of the Best Seats Podcast with my friend from Stillwater down to Dana Point, Brandon Howard. Enjoy. Brandon, my friend, welcome to the show. This has been a long time coming, a very long time coming. I know because you've been giving me shit about it for a long, long time to be able to do it. But I'm fired up to have you on to talk about Stillwater Spirits and Sounds down in Dana Point. We're just going to call it Stillwater like everybody else does from here on out. But before we dive into that, before I let you give me shit for taking so long to get you on the show and everything else I want to talk about, would you mind introducing yourself and giving a little bit of your background?
Yeah. Thanks for having me on again. And yeah, you're right. It did take
A long time.
My name is Brandon Howard. I'm one of the lead bartenders at Stillwater and Dana Point. I've been bartending on and off between 20 years here and there. I've been at Stillwater about 8 years now, and it's a pretty great gig. The ownership is great. The upper management's great. I really enjoy that spot. So,
Anybody who's kind of been in South County has probably either heard of it or been there. You guys have a massive live music kind of venue's not the right word. You kind of operate as a live music venue, but you guys have a massive live music presence and you get great bands, which we're going to talk about later. But I do want to give a quick shout out to your ownership group because you guys don't just have Stillwater. You have a couple other iconic South County spots.
Well, we have one more now. We have Sunsets. Capo Beach. Yep. We used to have Waterman's, but with the Waterman's Harbor, with the redevelopment of the harbor, we basically left our lease, or Damien left his lease and moved on from Waterman's to not deal with the headache of all of that. But yeah, Sunsets Capo Beach is epic. That's a cool, nice, it's got a dive bar feel, but
I mean, anybody who's been driving south down to San Clemente, they've seen it. That place is an icon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think about a couple of things like before I had you on the show. And what I was realizing is not only are you probably out of all my guests, and I want to say this is like episode 140, 138, something around there, whatever this comes out to be, I have known you the longest out of anybody I've had on the show, including some friends that I've known for quite some time. Okay, outside of the episode that I did with my mom, I've probably known her longer. I'm just realizing that. But I've known you for a long, long time. We are good friends. We go back
going on 9 years, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Real long while. Yeah. In all that time, I mean, I've known you, like you said, Stillwater for 8 years, and I kind of want to focus on that aspect as we kind of unpack the episode. But what were some of the other places? I mean, you mentioned almost 20 years behind the stick. What are some of the other places that you've done that got you up to Stillwater?
So my first real restaurant job was BJ's in Brea, but that was at 18. That got me into, I mean, I guess it kind of started me as a lifer in the bars and restaurants. And then I was at Dave & Buster's for 8 years, and that's when I got behind the stick. And that place is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
It's at least back in the day. I don't hang out there anymore or go there, so I don't really know how busy it is anymore, but I'm sure it is. But that place was it really sets you ahead of everybody else because the amount of volume that you have to deal with there, you can work anywhere. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I haven't been to a D&B in a long time, admittedly also, but basically, I mean, it's basically a Chuck E. Cheese where you can black out.
Yeah, yeah. And some of the best parts are...
Do that at a Chuck E. Cheese too.
But the best part is if, like, if you come in there with shitty bar etiquette, we will make you black out. We would like purposely try and get you fucked up so you would get
12 hurricanes,
out.
Go away.
Yeah.
So from D&B over to Still, was that?
I did other small restaurant gigs here and there. But the bigger ones were Dave & Buster's. I did Buffalo Wild Wings for quite a few years where I managed and bartended. And then I went over to Cannon's in Dana Point, and they didn't really have much of a bar scene. It was more of a finer dining kind of idea. So I was serving over there and bartending parties and whatnot. And then I got asked by a friend to come over to Stillwater in 2015 or 16, somewhere around there.
For people that haven't been to Stillwater before, kind of give the, I guess we'll call it kind of the elevator pitch, the quick sales pitch. Like, what can people expect when they come to that bar and restaurant?
You know, obviously, like, the live music venue, it's, if you're in South Orange County, it's the live music venue in South Orange County. Friday, Saturday nights are big hits. Wednesday nights, we do some country. But our cocktail program's really nice, considering the amount of volume that we do. And the patio outdoors is just epic. It's massive.
Yeah, you guys got a lot of square
footage.
We got
a big square bar on the patio and then a big long bar on the inside for when there's music. And then we always crack for football season too, so it's...
What kind of crowds do you guys look at? Like, when you get a band on, like, Flock of 80s or someone like that, like, you get a band that really kind of has pull, or even just a cranking Saturday night, what kind of numbers do you guys look at as far as, like, how many people you're kind of seeing?
If you had to guess? So, on our bigger nights, you know, Flock is a big one. Flashback Heart Attack is huge. Also, like, Family Style.
Yep.
And then we also have a Yacht Rock band that's really big, Yachtly Crew. They just played this past weekend. And, you know, I think our max capacity inside is 180 or something like that. And it's packed to the house. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
you feel it.
It gets, yeah. And then the patio also holds 100 and something people too. So, depending on the band, obviously those nights get batshit crazy.
Yeah. I've definitely been there a couple of times and had some really good nights there. Some fun football Sundays. It's always a funny one to come see you when you're working because, you know, you're funny and gregarious, but then, you know, you see people at work and you're just, you look at friends and be like, no, I'm busy. Like,
yeah.
I don't have time. Like, as much as I would love to hook my friends up, I'm busy.
When I first started dating my wife, she would come into the bar and hang out, and she's never dated anybody in the industry. So she didn't really understand the fact that I would just fucking ignore her and leave her to the side. And she's like, I'm a paying customer. I'm like, no, you're not. I'm your paying customer. And these other people are paying my bills that are paying your food bill right now. So no. So she would get really irritated about it. And then when, you know, years go by, she's really come around to the fact that, you know, she gets left alone when it's crazy busy. And same with my friends. You know, I'm a different person outside of work. When I'm at work, it's pretty much all business. Like, go, 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 get shit done.
I want to talk about your wife again in a little bit because she's a dear friend also. Again, we've been friends with you guys for a long time, and you guys are really close with us. And I want to talk about that aspect of dating kind of outside of the industry because I'm fascinated by that. But I want to get back to your earlier days, you know, D&B, even, you know, a short stint at a Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, these are volume places that... Yeah. You cut your teeth on. There's the type of places that, like, you're in the shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
No.
What were some of the lessons? And again, Stillwater's no different. You said to yourself, this thing's an animal. And when that's cranking, it's volume, 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 go, 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 go. What kind of lessons did you learn? Because, I mean, you were younger when you were working at some of these spots, too.
Yeah.
What were some of the things you picked up that you carry
on now? I got behind the bar at 22. One of the things I really learned, all my props go out to this man named Doug Margia, and he taught me everything at Dave & Buster's back in the day. You know Doug, he used to bartend at Stadium for a little bit.
Yep.
He's the dude. And one of the things I learned at a young age in that industry was don't take no shit off of nobody. Like, and one of Dave and Buster's mantras at the time, I don't know if it still is because it's not owned by Dave and Buster, but it was ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. And that meant we're going to treat you like ladies and gentlemen, but you're going to treat us like ladies and gentlemen. And if you fucking don't, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I have no problem kicking somebody out to this day. Like, that's one of the things that stuck with me the most. And it's just really baffled me that I've been in it this long and bar etiquette is still so bad with some people, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I've noticed it's gotten better in general, but some people are just out of pocket. So
yeah,
that's one of the biggest things I learned at Dave & Buster's. And then also just, you know, you got to grind. Like, the busy bars are not, it's not a dive bar.
Yeah.
You don't get to sit and bullshit with people. Now, there are times when you work with somebody who they're more of a grind person. I can be more of a talkative person. And I've worked with people who've said, I'll handle the well. You go out there and talk and make us money and do whatever. But not every day is like that. You don't get that opportunity every time. But
you don't always have a machine with you. Yeah. Just back there cranking them out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And sometimes you have to be the machine.
Yeah.
And let somebody else go do the talking and earn the money. Like, you know, you work with a hot chick. Yo,
go
get it.
I'm trying to get rich
tonight.
it's true, man. It is. It really is true. You talked about the cocktails at Stillwater. I want to touch on those because, again, you guys run that really fun balance between, holy shit, we have 18 tickets. We got to go. Each of them have 3 drinks on mm-hmm. them. Like, mm-hmm. we got to get these drinks out. But also, I don't just want, you know, shitty sour mix, bad tequila.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you're actually putting a lot of effort into these drinks.
Yeah.
You just got to get them out really goddamn quick.
Yeah.
How do you guys go about kind of building out your cocktail list, like, you know, releasing new drinks, things like that, where you know you also have to hit that speed?
Yeah. So in the past, we had a bar, our past bar lead, she made the big cocktail menu. And it was a lot of syrups mixed with muddling and mm-hmm. cocktail and then spirits and shit. So it was fine, but it's slow. And we just recently moved on to doing a lot more of pre-batched liquors, you know. We have a cocktail that's our owner's dad's, like, his favorite. It's called a Smoky Sunset. It's mezcal, Saint Germain, and Campari mixed with a fresh squeezed lime. And that's it.
Nice.
But the bottle is already, everything's pre-measured, pre-mixed out. All we do is just...
So it's like a one-touch cocktail.
Yeah, you're so good. That was one of our first introduced pre-batched kind of things. And then when we just redid our menu and cocktail menu, like, over half of them are like that now. And we've gone away from doing muddling berries to creating a berry jam
mm-hmm.
that the jam holds shelf life very well as opposed to fresh fruit. And that just has made... everything streamlined so much easier, especially with that how busy we get.
Yep.
You know, we have an old fashioned that's everything's already pre-mixed. Just bang it out. It's a vanilla bean old fashioned. Boom, gone. Pour it, gone.
I know there are some cocktail purists out there who'll be like, no, like, you got to take the time to build the drinks. And like, and I get both sides of the argument, but having seen how busy you guys can get and how much, like, unless you're, let's be honest, the only people in Orange County that are cranking out mojitos to order with being 3 deep at the bar's rooftop, and for whatever reason, that still works for them. They're a machine. But yeah, I mean, when you guys are absolutely packed on an NFL Sunday, and I've seen your ticket machine, you know, lighting itself on fire as self-immolation.
Tickets hitting the floor. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it works for us. I'm the same way. Like, I love making cocktails. Don't get me wrong. If I'm not blasted, then I will take the time to make you an excellent margarita or old fashioned, you know, because that's just how I am. I generally, when I go out to bars, you know this, I drink beer and either a shot of tequila, whiskey, or Fernet. Right.
I know people that are literally in like the court of master sommeliers, and they are vodka soda and like a shot when they're out.
No shame
in the game.
And it's not, I don't like cocktails. It's, I know how I like cocktails made. And sometimes you go out and I'll see somebody start muddling an orange and a cherry.
Oh, you get the fuck out.
And I'm like, get the fuck out.
But that sugar cube,
you know what? Put that fucking back.
No.
I'm just, you know what? I'll have a beer.
Everybody loves Mad Men. Don't take that shit home.
No, no. An old fat, if you're making an old fashioned like that, I'm done. So I just, and I don't like to be that guy going out that says, oh, you know what? You're making that wrong. So
yeah,
I don't want it. I don't like being that guy. So I'll just, I'll have my beers and easy shots.
Yeah. Fernet about it and you're good.
Fernet about it.
Yeah.
Oh, you got Fernet. Here, I got a coin.
You're not coining my own house. I was going to say, this is actually the first time I've done remote recordings. I've had people call in way back in the day when I first started this during COVID. You're the first person to actually come over in person and record here, so this is fun. But don't you dare coin me in my own house, because I have mine on the desk over there, and I swear to God I'll grab it.
You got four steps, bro.
Too bad my retriever's at doggy daycare. I got to teach him to retrieve. I want to talk about the relationship with you and your wife, because I've had a lot of guests on before that have talked about relationships, some of them very, very candidly and very honestly, which I've always been appreciative of. Most of the time when people date in this industry, it's within the industry.
Yeah.
It's kind of incestuous in that way, where mm-hmm. it just makes sense based on the hours, based mm-hmm. on the grind. And it's yeah. kind of like, I heard somebody describe it once, it's like dating a cop. Like, you don't know the kind of shit that they see or exactly. what they deal with, and they tend to bring their work home yeah. and like the hours are long. When you met your wife, you mentioned that she'd never dated anybody in the industry. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you to date somebody who was non-industry, to kind of show her those things and kind of like expose her to those aspects of your world, because she didn't know?
I mean, honestly, it was difficult. That's the easiest way to describe it. It was really difficult. Our first year of dating was really difficult. Just hours were different. She works yeah. a 9-to-5. She's always worked a 9-to-5. She's never worked in a restaurant. She's never dated anybody who's worked in restaurants or bars. And getting acclimated to her, when I'd get off work at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and be like, hey, you want to go meet up for a drink? She's like, I'm in fucking bed.
She's like, I'm in bed for an hour.
Yeah, yeah, there's no fucking way. So for me, it was tough, because you're right. In my life, my ex-wife, my ex-fiance, everybody I've been in major relationships in my life since I've been in restaurants have all been in restaurants as well.
Yeah.
So we all just understood each other's life, like you said. This one was really hard. It did take a lot of time, a lot of sacrifices on both sides, which we did. She did more. I'll give her that. Like, she's all the credit. She fought tooth and nail to make sure we stayed. Like, I tried to break up with this girl like 30 times in the first year we were dating, and she would just straight up tell me no. Like, no. Nah. I'm like, that's not how this works. If I'm out, I'm fucking out. I'm going to go do whatever I want. But she would show up to my door on her lunch break and fight with me to stay together. And it's the best decision she ever made, because like, she got me. So
yes,
we're great now.
You guys got married. You got married during what? 2020? Yeah. You got married during COVID. You guys were
at
COVID
at the Honda Center.
Yeah.
Box office window.
Yeah.
Box office window 7 inside. We got to go inside though. So that was,
oh, that's nice.
Interesting.
Shit. During those days yeah. inside. What a privilege.
Yeah. So, you know, she's been a great thing for me, and she's really come around to be more understanding, especially because after COVID and we came back, I switched to working all day shifts. Mm-hmm. And then last winter happened, and you know how raining and cold it is, and with our big patio, we're really yeah. weather dependent. So they cut our hours. We're closed Mondays. We don't open until 4 o'clock.
Yeah, which makes sense from a Tuesday.
Yeah, from a business. I totally get it.
Yeah.
But it fucked my life up the most.
Yeah.
Because I worked the days, and which was great because I was by myself. I made all the money. I didn't have to share with anybody. And I'm a hustle. Like, I'm fast as fuck, boy. So yeah. I'll run and hustle and take all the tables and the bar. And I was doing fine. And then they changed the hours, and it totally flipped my life upside down. It almost turned time backwards from when we first started dating and our hours were completely off. And then we finally had gotten on an even schedule where I was working in the bar, but I was working days and still making great money. And now we're back to me three nights a week and one day. So yeah. it's flipped, but it's easier now because there's more understanding between the both of us. So,
well, I was going to say, I mean, knowing you guys for as long as I have, and I think people listening might be curious who might be in different kind of stages of relationships themselves, either within the industry or out of the industry. What are some of the lessons that you've learned dating someone who is non-industry? That was a deep sigh.
Yeah. I want to say just to like be very understanding that they have no idea what you do and how your life really works. If they they just have no idea. You know what I mean? It's not, it's ignorance, but it's not like self-imposed ignorance. It's just, they just don't know.
Yeah.
And you can't be a dick just because they don't know and expect them to rewrite their schedule, their life around your hours. You know, there has to be some balance. If it means switching from one night shift on a weekend to a day shift, if you really want that relationship to work, that's just something you might have to do, you know. Me and her, we only have Sundays is our only day that we have together all day long. And I, you know, Stillwater is really great. They're really accommodating with that. They've known, I mean, I've been there for a long time, so they take care of my schedule for me. That's the one thing I have on them. It's, you know, I know you flipped the schedule and you flipped my life upside down, but I don't work Sundays. I just don't work Sundays.
Yeah.
Now there will be an event, you know, the redo markets, and this past St. Patrick's Day was on a Sunday. If it's one of those types of things where it's all hands on deck, cool, I'm in. But for the most part, no, I don't do Sundays just because I got to maintain that relationship and keep her happy and me happy. You know, we got to be able to have time together.
Well, that was the other reason. I mean, we're recording this on a Monday, and that was the other reason that it took us a while to sit down and record. I think we had to get past NFL season because there was no chance.
No
Monday morning was working after an NFL Sunday. Let's talk about Data Point. You've been, like you said, at Stillwater in 8 years. Two of those years put an asterisk next to it, give or take, for kind of COVID and post-COVID stuff.
Yeah.
But Data Point as a town, it's going through a massive push and revitalization, but I guess you could call it gentrification if you want to, but an update.
You could say gentrification. It's just gentrification of old people.
Fair.
You know, like new money is coming in.
Yeah. And I've had, you know, restaurateurs, you know, mm-hmm. Chef Blake Melgren of Craft House has been on the show previously before. And kind of, we've been seeing this throughout the years. You know, Chef Danielle Kuhn, who's now got Gianna and Maison, and she's really mm-hmm. crushing it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Maison's crushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've really seen the whole gambit of it because it really started maybe probably 8-7 years ago at that. I mean, Craft House was one of the first to come in. You guys had already been established. There were a handful of other older spots, but since you really got there, you've kind of seen it progress.
Well, and I was in Dana Point for 5 years before Stillwater.
Yeah, that's true.
I was at Cannons.
Yeah.
And when I was at Cannons, you know, there's the point, and Cannons doesn't compare to these places because it's different.
It's more of a char house.
But as far as like, to go out, you know, there's always the Blue Dolphin's always been around, but that's run by one dude, and God knows how that place is.
If you ever want to know where all the chefs in that region go to play pool after the shift, it's the Blue Dolphin. I've lost many a dollar at the Blue Dolphin.
But yeah, one of the first new restaurants to come in that I remember was definitely Craft House.
Yep.
And then also Coastal Kitchen.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one of them was first. I think Craft House was, but not by much. They were both pretty close.
Yeah. Someone can write in and tell me if I'm wrong. I think it was Craft House, and the Coastal was like 2 years
ago. And I know. And then every year Dana Point Times does a best of, right?
Yep.
This year Blake actually got second for best chef.
Yep.
And Coastal Kitchen got best chef.
Yeah. I think that like just happened like a week ago or something.
A couple of weeks ago. So those came in, and they didn't really change the effect of business to other restaurants as much, because it was like one or two, right? Recently, with all of that new development on Del Prado, and with Maison moving up there, Home Slice Pizza, Truly Pizza.
Yeah, those guys are crushing it.
Station Craft across the street.
Yeah.
Next to Hennessy's.
Yep.
Della Hunt has a little spot next to Hennessy's, but I don't know how much that really affects anything. But all of those spots opening up so close to our doors has really changed business. You know what I mean? There's so many more options now, whereas there wasn't that many options. And don't get me wrong, our food is great for being a live venue. Our chef, Javi, is amazing. We have way better. We're punching above the ceiling for what our venue seems to be. Our kitchen is punching above the ceiling for sure.
There's a lot of places that do a lot worse with a lot more going on. And a bit,
yeah.
I want to say we're making it sound like this is some like podunk little restaurant. No, Stillwater's great. Stillwater's like, this is nice.
Yeah.
And is that like, I love your outdoor bar. Anytime I'm in that area, I'm like, I wonder if Brandon's working.
It's one of the best outdoor dinings in the area. I think in the Dana Point times, Wind and Sea wins every year for outdoor patio, but that's because they're in the harbor.
Yeah. They're on the water.
So, It is what it is, but yeah, and you know, the same people win the same shit every year for the most part. But yeah, it's been a real big change with all of the new development, especially right there next to us. Like all of that has really affected our business, and not that it's people are disappointed in us or anything. It's the new girl in school. You know, everybody wants to go flirt with the new girl in school. So they go check them all out. And then, but there happened to be six of them that came at one time. So
yeah,
it's that, but the weather's getting better. It's been really busy the last couple of weeks. So it's been good.
I was going to say, nice to be out of the wintertime. I know on the day that we're recording this, I'm looking out the window behind me. I'm like, man, it's a good day for a daytime beer.
Yeah.
Monday
I mean, I'm going to go have a couple daytime beers after this.
My chores are done. Yeah. Moving forward, I mean, 8 years is a long time at a place. I mean, you know, especially for the bartender. I mean, it's kind of the running joke of like, you know, you're at 30 different bars between 2 years and then a liquor rep for a year and then a real estate agent. Like, you know, it's that like natural progression. Yeah. 8 years is a long time. I mean, what is it? I guess kind of a two-part question. What has kept you there? And then also, what does the future kind of look like?
Fuck the future. Jeez. What has kept me there, hands down, is ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Collins is masterclass. Like, the dude is a great owner. He's taken care of me in really hard times. And if I'm going through a hard time and I don't reach out to him, he gives me a hard time about it.
Yeah.
He's like, if you need something, come to me. And then also our upper management, our director of operations. He's actually the guy that hired me. He was a GM back then. He's our director of operations now, Joey Estrada. He's just fun to work with. He gets irritated about a lot of things.
Yeah. Well,
but
yeah,
I mean, it's a restaurant. Everybody does. So, but him and Damian have been like the rocks from the very beginning. Now, I've had other good managers. I've had bad managers. The managers I have right now, I'm really good with. They're great. They let me just like do my job without too much flack over too much petty shit. You know, you go into like a wildly corporate bar, and if you're not wearing the right color bracelet or watch, you know, they'll chew you out. But they're real easygoing. But yeah, that's what's kept me there. The future, I mean, liquor rep sounds like it's around the corner at some point. I mean, in all honesty, I think I'll be behind the bar for as long as my body allows me until I can get into that position where I can just finally do my own.
Yeah.
Once I can get my own spot, whether it be with help or without, you know, it's always, I think that's the end goal for most lifers, you know, lifers in the bar, that's your end goal. So I think that's where it's at.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude, good for you, man. That's awesome. We're going to wind down this main episode. I'm going to keep you around because I have a couple more questions for a bonus episode, which people can find over on patreon.com/thebestseats. In the meantime, though, if people want to come visit you at the bar, if they want to come and check out Stillwater for themselves, even on a day when you're not there, as far as like website, Instagram, stuff like that, where can people find y'all at?
Yeah, so our website is danapointstillwater.com. You'll bring up our calendar where it shows all of our bands that are playing for each month. Mm-hmm. It generally comes out the last couple days of a month for the oncoming month. And then our Instagram is Stillwater, at Stillwater DP, or
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah.
I think that's it.
I don't know. It's in the show notes. People can find it.
So yeah. And that same thing that those show, the Instagram is better because you'll see all of our daily, weekly promotions. Mm-hmm. And then also our calendars. And then on the weekends, it'll show who's playing that Friday and Saturday night.
And by the way, I should have mentioned this right off the bat. One pro tip for everybody, if you haven't been there, this is an indoor music venue. So you do not have to worry about weather, inclement weather. Exactly, like people go on. So
Yeah. Rain or shine, they're in. It's just the outdoor patio. If it's raining, it's...
Any insider tips for if somebody sees a band they want to come see, like get there early, like show?
Okay, so for those bands that I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. if you see them on the calendar, like I said, Flashback Heart Attack, Family Style, Yachtly Crew.
You guys have had Sega Genocide before, haven't you?
Sega Genocide rips.
Yeah.
And they do 90s, which I love because that's when I grew up. But our crowd is more 80s. They're a little older than I am.
For now.
But I'm old. So I'm not taking away from my age, but the nine, like I love watching Sega Genocide.
Yeah.
So if you want to get in and get a table inside, our reservations are, you got to spend like $50 on food and beverage minimums and then per person. But once you see that band, one of those bands on the calendar, call in and make a reservation.
Yeah.
A lot of the times people try and send emails and it doesn't end up working out for them. The best way to do it is call and be persistent or come in, but do it as early as possible, especially those bands. Oh, and Tijuana Dogs. Tijuana Dogs crushes.
Yeah.
Those dudes. Yeah, those dudes pack the house. So that's the best way to go about that.
Nice, man.
Yeah, and then I'm generally Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights and Saturday mornings. Saturday mornings are my jam, though.
I believe that.
I love Saturday
mornings. I
know mornings.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome, brother. Well, thank you for coming on. Like I said, I'm going to keep you around for a bonus episode, which people can find. You're somebody that I've wanted to have on for a while because, again, when I first launched this podcast, it was really trying to give a voice to people that are in this industry, especially locally in Orange County, that may not always get the limelight that they, I think, rightfully deserve. So I'm super happy to share the story, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
No worries.
Glad to be on.
I'm going to go get my Fernet coin.
Yeah, buddy.
Thanks, brother. Thank you, Brandon, for coming over, hanging out with me, having some fun. Yes. We, in fact, did grab beers afterwards. Thank you so much to everybody who supports the show, whether on Free Feeds or Patreon. You make it possible, but especially if you're over on Patreon, you really make it possible because each and every dollar goes back into the show and every other show and everything else that I'm trying to create here with the best seats. Thank you to my advertising partners that support. Thank you to all of you who have been sharing recently. I know we're creeping up to episode 150. Don't worry, news will be coming out about that soon, but people have been reaching out saying they're excited for it, so I appreciate that support and the anticipation for it. God willing, we will make it. Don't worry, we will. I'm kidding. Thank you to everybody out there who's just doing a good job. It's springtime now here in Orange County. Weather's getting beautiful, even though we still got some rain here and there. But yeah, blue skies are ahead. Good times are ahead. Get out there. Go down to Stillwater. Talk trash on the Cowboys. Say hi to Brandon for me. Be safe, tippy bartenders, and I'll see you soon. Take care. The Best Seats Podcast is an original production of The Best Seats. It is written, edited, produced, and owned by myself, Crawford McCarthy, founder and principal of The Best Seats. It's based in Orange County, California. It is subsidized through generous monthly donations at patreon.com/thebestseats. The following are the names of those who subscribed at the highest monthly tier, aka Norm Status, and allow me to continue producing this show each and every month. As a thank you for their continued support, here are the names.
John Sanchez, Zach Scher, Loco Lipo, Burrito No Rito, Eric Lutz, Jay Baker, Tim Swine, Burgermeister. Thank you for your support.